Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
This week in league, the city of Albury declared a cunt-free zone.
Bryce Cartwright stands firm in his view that his immune system shouldn't be a better defender than he is.
The Bulldogs attempt to lure Josh Reynolds home with ultrasound showing two future premierships.
Plus, we power on as best we can, waiting for the resumption of the 2020 NRL season.
All that and more this week in league. Welcome to episode 349 of This Week in League. I'm Nate.
And I'm Jay.
How you doing, my man? Oh. Same as last week. Same as week before.
It's Groundhog Day. No, I'm firmly in for this countdown to the 28th.
Oh, for the footy?
Oh.
Yeah.
You have no idea.
Do you have a date set when you, or at least a plan proposed date when people can go back in the office?
No.
Not anything at all?
No.
So what are you doing in there?
No idea.
So it's just like until further notice?
Until further notice.
And so they could say on Friday, okay, we're back in on Monday?
Yeah.
Or you've got to be longer lead?
I think we'll have some notice.
Yeah.
And B, I think companies, especially bigger companies, will have a fairly risk-adverse view for opening back up, especially since that would mean doing things like forcing a lot of people back onto public transport.
Yeah.
I've been hearing
third party all week about a CEO that's trying to force things, you know, in a certain way. And a
really?
And a general manager here who has written...
Ooh.
Who has written confirmation that they agreed that no one would go back in there until at least the 31st of July.
That's
a secondhand battle I'm hearing every fucking day.
Far out. Yeah. And
Morty back at school next week though? 11th, yeah?
Yet to be seen.
Okay.
So,
but the school is like, the preppies go back on the 11th, right?
Yeah. Because we're out of the public system, we're in the George Pell fan club.
Yeah, which is part of like same as ours, like the independent schools, Queensland or whatever it is.
No, this is firmly the fucking fucking black cross on your forehead diocese.
Yeah, but I mean they're still like, I mean they got the, like they got the religious affiliation as well, but those ones come under like they, I mean it's like ours, like, they come under like in, it's like there's yeah, like
which
the,
basically
Department of Education and your independent schools.
That's
and
it. Then so got, each school can do what they want.
Yeah.
And it will depend firmly because I've got two classes.
Yeah.
They're looking at doing the kids of parents who are struggling, you know, or who need to work or can't work or on casual work.
How many kids are there at the minute?
None.
Zero.
I would assume zero, maybe one or two. And that's only assuming that because I haven't been there. We did a little joke.
Aren't you on the Facebook groups or like the parents update thingies and?
Oh yeah, I am, but I may not look at them. we did a little haha drive by the other day just so we didn't forget what his school looked like, and there were no bags out there.
Yeah. So, well, they just leave him out the front on the footpath.
Sorry, I should explain that. You can see his classroom from the driveway into the school.
I reckon ours is, I mean, like, I don't know because I haven't been down that way for fucking nearly, you could almost say months.
Yeah.
It's like almost closer to 2 months than one. But I think, I remember they were saying, look, you know, this is the plan is we're going to do this until like week five, we're definitely going to be off. But once, if we hit, and we're going to be doing delivering the online stuff as well as, and then we'll be delivering the online stuff and the kids that of essential workers that have to go to the school.
Yeah, that's it.
They'll be supervised, but they'll just be working through the online stuff too, but they'll just be at school working through the online stuff, and there'll be teachers there to assist them, and they won't be necessarily be their teacher or anything though.
Yeah.
And then once we get to 50%, though, their thing was once we get to 50% kids at the school, then we'll, you know, for each grade, I think it was maybe, then we'll think about bringing them in back. But I don't think that's going to be a thing. I reckon they're close to that now anyway. But now, you know, on Monday, preppies and ones go back or whatever. And then 2 weeks after that, it's everybody.
Yeah, I think with school, that's the first thing people are going to need to get used to changing pretty severely. You know, and I was even thinking about the journey to a footy game.
Yeah.
You know, if you think about a footy game, think of all the ones at Suncorp that you've been to. One of the big things there, and this is how much it's going to affect it. Just think about before and after the game, the throngs,
just the jams people, around the entrances, and just
well, they close off.
Yeah.
Roma Street.
Yep.
Into Caxton Street for people that don't know Brisbane. That's what's that like? 800 meters, a kilometre of street. And it's just a massive fucking bunch of people all walking together.
It's like 10 wide river of people
from
Roma Street Station down past the fire thing, up over the thing and then down.
You know, so that's the thing of the past. Public transport to and from games.
It's a thing of the past, I think. But I mean, if Queensland, for example, if Australia were to keep the borders closed and Queensland were to register zero new cases for like 14 days, then theoretically that means it's eradicated in Queensland, at which point it doesn't matter what fucking people do. The problem comes in, it has to become an Australia-wide thing. And then when you start opening up the gates overseas, then
that's it.
Then some, you know.
Yeah, but I've had.
Unless people, you enforce like a mandatory 14 days.
See, this is the thing though. I've had people say that the changes that come after the end of this will be far more drastic than anybody's thought.
Yeah.
And stuff like if you want to travel now, there will be a 10-day quarantine period when you enter the country that you go into, and there'll be a 10-day quarantine period when you come back.
Yeah.
So the whole-
Well, you can't have a 2-week holiday because there's 4-day holiday, right? Like, I mean, because 10 days
That's it. Yeah, you know, and it will, you know, pretty much kills the whole, oh, let's duck over to Bali for 4 days.
Yeah, it's not a bad thing.
Take a long weekend. No, it's not.
Fuck Bali.
doesn't affect teams like the Tigers, because when they go to Bali, they have a very long time in front of them with fuck all to do.
I'm sure they could actually like probably, so, they could probably do like their isolation in Australia and then get like a team bus to the airport and then over to Bali and enjoy their full Bali.
Correct.
I mean, because, you know, they could watch 2 weeks of semifinals while they're isolated.
Yeah.
And then head over to Bali and watch the semi and the grand final.
Yeah. They don't even have to be back for the Dally M's.
I mean, they don't even have Teddy in the team anymore, so no one has to rush back to play for Australia. Yeah,
exactly.
In conclusion,
you know, they're talking about now face masks being mandatory in airports and on airplanes.
Remember when the face mask thing was like, oh, don't wear face masks because face masks make it worse?
I don't think it was ever make it worse. I think it was always the thing of there aren't enough to go around.
I think
so. If you're wearing one,
my theory is that it was actually a scare campaign, or like a campaign of deterrence until such time as they actually could adequately provide the health people who need it far more, because they're dealing with fucking bad eaters,
actual fucking Ronas.
Yeah, the full on Ronas. I mean, in Queensland, all 50 of them, like. Ever, but right. Yeah, fucking strange days. I tell you, I'm loving the fucking lockdown shit though. Like honestly, like I fucking save 2 hours a day on transport.
Yep.
Like you know, it's fucking great.
Mm. Oh, mate,
and I'm hoping that what this does do, if the Rona itself doesn't wash the boomers away, then at least it might open their eyes to the benefits and like the way that working from home actually works for people who are in an office environment.
Yeah.
Because right up until like to this very day, but let's say this day 7 or 8 weeks ago, the resistance that some places had to working from home was fucking like tremendous. And now they're probably seeing that, you know, they're getting more done.
Yeah.
I mean, most places, most people are reporting they're getting more done.
Yeah. Oh, look. there's been a bunch of studies done, and you know, I know we're not even close to talking about footy here, but there's been a bunch of workplaces where they've, you know, for example, in a test said, okay, we want out of our 1,000 people or 1,500 people, 750 of you, we want you to go and work from home for 6 months.
Yep.
And then, so only 500 people actually volunteered and they had to pick
another 250 or whatever
the others that did it. And a very small number of them chose to do it after the trial time had ended.
Yeah.
Just because they didn't like feeling removed.
But this was an environment where not everyone was removed either, you know what I mean? Yeah. That was a situation. Yeah, there was actually, correct. They were the removed ones that were separated from the-
And then, you look, I think it was Optus.
Yeah.
They're doing it full time. So they're not going to have call centers based in the Philippines.
Yep.
They'll have people domestically- but not in an office.
Yeah.
Yep. So that's their cost trade-off.
Yeah. And I mean, I know places like Amy and that do it as well. Like you sort of have like induction for like a number of weeks or something and then you're actually just set up at your place and you've got your 8-hour shift that starts like fucking whenever because they probably run 24-hour or, you know, late night, like maybe till 9 o'clock or something.
Mm.
But yeah. So hopefully there's, you know.
Just somebody just at the last ditch, get the runner somehow and spit in Bryce Cartwright's mouth. Oh, no, spit in his wife's mouth.
Yeah.
Because I don't want it fucking affecting the season.
We can start with that motherfucker. The article in question, of course, is if you've been living under a rock or if your internet's been down and you've been locked down at home, could happen. But then you're not listening to this either, really, I guess. Gold Coast Titans player Bryce Cartwright has reportedly had to sign a waiver over the mandatory flu shot players are required to get ahead of the season's restart. The 25-year-old signed the form and had been given the green light to return to training. This, of course, after he came out and said that he was not going to be taking the flu shot because he is an out and proud anti-vaxxer.
Mm.
Apparently other players are expected to reject the shot as well due to adverse reactions to the shot in the past, which is a different thing entirely. But the shots have been made compulsory as a part of the biosecurity protocols that have been brought in to minimize the spread of COVID-19. And, Cartwright and his wife, or more importantly, his wife, are outspoken anti-vaxxers. I did see an article today saying that, detailing that he was actually resistant to the whole anti-vax thing. But his missus wore him down with research.
Google. Oh, okay.
And can I just say that is the, I mean, apart from like, you know, the deaths and economic stuff that people might be going through, the worst thing of this whole fucking corona thing is, you know how it's like, it's kind of like a, it's not a meme, but it's like a trope that through this lockdown, you've got all this extra time so you can learn a new skill.
Yes.
You can learn people being baking and all people have been frittering their fucking time away doing TikTok dances or, you know, a number of different things.
I feel personally attacked.
I haven't seen you do any of the dances. You just watch sluts doing them.
Well, look, you know.
If a TikTok with you doing all these dumbass fucking dances.
Some of us are hustlers, some of us are customers.
Yeah, exactly. You stay a customer, I'll fucking Tonya Harding you. But people are, you know, and like I've been doing, you know, illustration and I've been cooking up a fucking ton of shit that I've had extra time to cook and everything. Like I've been making, I feel like fairly, you know, good use of the time.
Yeah.
But there are people that I see on Facebook that I've known for fucking many years. Oh my God, how have they spent their time?
Yeah.
Clearly in fucking Google and YouTube.
Yep.
The fucking gradual shift that I've been observing from certain people that, like, I'll be honest, they were kind of always at least, if not susceptible or subscribed to, you know, some gateway fucking-
Like they were almost vegans.
Yeah, not vegans, actually quite staunch meat eaters and things like that. Also, prone to trolling people about religion and stuff like that as well. Fuck. Like people that you would think are dead set your people.
Yeah.
Obviously, because you become friends with these people. And so, of course, that's why. But just the gradual fucking slide. Usually, I find the gateway drug is yoga. And then once, and like, and then yoga, yoga leads to natural medicine, which is like, you know, a fucking misnomer. Yeah. And the whole thing, of course, is, you know, what do they call alternative medicine that works?
Medicine.
They call it fucking medicine.
Yeah.
And it goes from yoga to alternative medicine and, you know, rubbish like, you know, fucking Reiki and, you know, remote light, you know, healing and shit like that.
Oh, the magnets fucking help.
Yeah, bleaching your anus, you know, with the sunlight or whatever. And then it's like, then, holy shit, then now COVID comes out. Then we've got vaccines, new world order, 5G towers. Oh, my fucking God.
Yeah. The issue I have here, and it's a fucking well-known issue, and many people share this opinion, and that's great. I very much subscribe to a live and let live philosophy. It's how I've tried to be after having a fucking stress-induced stroke.
I subscribe to the same thing, however, with a but.
Now, my thing is, live and let live doesn't entitle you to put other people at risk. So, the exact fucking opposite of live and let live is live and put others at risk.
Mm-hmm.
Did you read the comment that his dumb cunt wife...
The one she put on Insta? It was? Oh, I have it here verbatim if you wish me to say it.
Please.
Could you give me some, I need some spiritual, you know, maybe if you want to give me some kumbaya or some chanting or some sort of, you know, bullshit that these fuckwits, the background, just to get the effect going.
Hang on.
Fuck, you can just go straight up Enya Orinoco flow. You're on Spotify with Enya. Hilarious. Oh, we share a hive mind at times. It's crazy.
I'm a bit worried now that you're going to start yoga. I don't want to lose you too.
This is the thing. This is how you do yoga. You want to do yoga and not
How many fucking albums has Enya done?
I don't know the exact answer, but I'll put it to you, too fucking many.
Jesus Christ, there's a deluxe video edition of the very best of Enya.
No one wants that. No, there's not a market for that. Oh, there is a market for that. Fucking yoga studios. Hey, you can do yoga and still retain your sanity. You do the DDP yoga.
Do what?
DDP, Diamond Dallas Page, used to be a professional wrestler.
Yeah.
He started doing, he was almost forced into retirement through, like, you know, back injuries and stuff, as wrestlers get, because they're fucking slamming around a lot.
Yeah.
And he just took some yoga concepts and then made his own sort of brand of it that ultimately fixed his back and stopped him from being retired. And so now, and then, you know, a bunch of others, like, you know, people with back injuries and stuff.
See, the fact that you didn't say allegedly before any of that shit.
Oh, it's fucking good.
Yeah. You see, you're right. This is the gateway.
But you know what the good thing about it is? There's no fucking, it's like more like an athletic thing rather than a thing that, there's none of this tapping into, yeah, you know, people that use a yoga, it's like to tap into some sort of third eye chakra fucking, what, there's none of that. It's literally just, here we go. And she's on the line, Chanel PT on Instagram. People have the freedom to say what they like. Just like we have the freedom to choose which medical procedures we undergo. But ultimately, the proof is in the pudding. Our kids are a picture of health. They've never had an ear infection, never had a chest infection or bronchitis. They have no neurodevelopmental disorders or autoimmune disorders and are rarely ever sick. They've never had a round of antibiotics or any other pharmaceutical drug for that matter. Yes, including Panadol. As parents, we do our best with what we know. For some, health comes in a needle, and it works for them. What we're doing is going seemingly well, seeing the state of their health. So if it's not clear, we're not anti-anything. We stand for medical freedom and the right to choose. Anyway, that's my piece. Stay gravy, peeps.
Drink some bleach. Sorry.
Yeah, so.
Okay, let's start picking this apart.
Okay.
Based on her example.
Yes.
I've had unprotected sex.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have HIV.
Correct. You are.
That means it's impossible to catch HIV through unprotected sex.
Well,
given her example, her logic.
Her logic.
Because she has a child who hasn't had crippling fucking diseases and infections. Do you know why? Because the vast majority of people vaccinate their fucking kids, and the whole theory behind vaccines is that if all these kids are vaccinated, it's called herd immunity, and it's why it fucking works,
mm-hmm.
is that if there are fewer people to pass it along, then all of these fucking illnesses don't get a foothold in the community. So if, you know, someone
they don't get back, they don't get a prolonged life.
Well, that's it. If someone has fucking whatever it is, whooping cough,
yep,
right, and they're treated in a hospital, it means that all the people that are around them are vaccinated. So they don't get whooping cough and pass it on to every other fucking person they come into contact mm-hmm. with, who eventually pass it on to your kid.
And then so if it, at its peak effectiveness,
correct.
It dies with the either death or curing of the person, yep. that person in hospital.
Now, here's the thing. Does it go the other way? If she can choose what mm-hmm. she does, you know, could she say that, well, you know what? I want to feed my child alcohol. I want to feed my child a bottle of fucking bourbon mm-hmm. every night before it goes to bed because I believe that has medicinal properties and I'm in control of what goes into my child's body. And, or is that fucking child endangerment?
And I drink alcohol.
Yeah.
And it hasn't caused me any developmental issues. I mean, well, arguably, I mean, given the Instagram account, but
But the thing is, all the research is done. Now, one of the things I try and do is I always leave myself open to new information.
Mm-hmm.
So, if she's done this research and she has actually done it, as in she has gone and performed decades of academic research.
Or can produce said research. Or can produce said research. I don't expect her to do it herself, but I mean, and if there's-
And can cite sources- And can actually cite academic, scientifically sound studies.
And not mention at any stage Andrew fucking Wakefield or anything he ever did.
I don't even know who that is and I don't want to. I feel that I would be stupider for knowing who it is.
He is a disgraced.
Is he the guy that doctor, did the autism?
That did the autism thing. Yeah,
there you go.
He's the if that guy had never fucking done what he did.
Yep.
There would be. I don't think there would be anti-vax.
Like I get the anti-vax movement from parents with children, and I didn't. But I recently heard something, and it gave me a new way to look at it, and I now have more empathy for them. And it was a story done. Fuck, I wish I could remember what podcast this was on. But there was a doctor mm-hmm. and had a patient in his waiting room. Was there to get vaccinated.
Yep.
You know, young child, like sort of, I think at the like 2 or 3 year old
yep.
mark, whenever it is they do it in America. And they were running late.
Yeah.
And they've gone out and said, look, I'm terribly sorry. We're running late. We'll be 15 minutes past your appointment time. Just hang out there. Right? Okay. No worries at all. The doctor goes out to go, okay, thank you. Sorry. It was actually 20 minutes. Your turn now. Let's go in. As he walks over, the child has a seizure.
Okay.
And it turns out that this child has this horrific neurological disorder.
Okay.
And tragically, 3 years later, dies.
Okay.
Now, if not for the fact that he was running late, that series of events goes, go to the doctor.
Get the vaccination.
Get a vaccination.
He gets a neurological thing that kills him in 3 years.
Immediately has a seizure.
Yeah.
And then in 3 years- That parent for the rest of their lives is a militant anti-vaxxer and there is nothing anyone can do that can convince them otherwise. I mm-hmm. get that.
Yeah.
Like, I get that emotional side of it.
Mm-hmm.
But Miss fucking privileged wag live on the Gold Coast and fucking fortunately enough to be somewhere where you can say dumb shit without much repercussion.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck off. By just the fact that you are married to an arguably- first grade quality player, that you get a fucking platform for this,
mm-hmm.
get the fuck out. Because it's not about you. You can do whatever you want with you. You can fucking smoke meth and stick a cactus up your cunt for all I care,
mm-hmm.
but you are endangering the lives of children and you're endangering the lives are fucking vulnerable people in your community. Those people who
and that's not a freedom of fucking anything exactly. issue. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah,
you know, it's science.
Hmm. You know what? I think, you know, you said that, like, that sort of scenario that you broke down where that kid with the seizure, yep. I think the whole thing that got her started down this path is one day she looked in the fucking mirror when she was trying to take a selfie for her fucking IG and she realized, holy fuck, when I was a child, my parents didn't give me the vaccine that stopped my fucking eyes from being too close together. Dead set fucking crab looking bitch. Get the fuck out of here. Fuck you and your fucking non-tackling bitch ass motherfucker. Next.
Yes.
Fuck Channel 9. Hugh Marks.
To figure off that.
Yes.
Canberra, you absolute fucking pathetic shit cunt club. Papali, Soliola and Tarpany have also protested against the NRL's compulsory vaccination policy. And they've gone a step further than Brycey. They have refused to sign the unmodified waiver that would have allowed them to train.
So, what are the grounds for them not signing the waiver? Do you know? Is there a quote from any of them?
The three Raiders players modified the waiver by crossing out a line in the document they signed on Tuesday.
Which the line was?
Don't know.
Motherfucker, that's much needed context.
They crossed out wording. The crossed-out wording relates to players accepting they are at greater risk of contracting influenza by not receiving the injection. Jesus fucking Christ! You can't argue with the fucking numbers. Here are the people who are vaccinated,
mm-hmm.
and here are the people who got the flu after being vaccinated,
mm-hmm.
compared to the sample group of the people that didn't get vaccinated. A greater number of them got the flu.
Yes,
we're not having a fucking philosophical debate here about arguments. This is just maths.
Yep.
This number's bigger than this number.
And we're not claiming that the flu vaccine has some miraculous 100% effectiveness. Correct. With the strain and all of that sort of thing. It varies each year. We're just saying more than other. Yeah.
You know, yeah. Like really that number is, this number's bigger than this number.
Mm-hmm. Why are they, so I don't understand. I mean, they're signing a waiver anyway. So why does that particular piece of it? That, you know what it is? That's cunts making a fucking uneducated stand against a fucking some imaginary fucking enemy that they're protesting.
You know what I'd fucking love to have? And again, I've seen this person give speeches before. There are a bunch of people who have come into Australia, mm-hmm. and Jesus Christ, if anybody fucking knows anyone about this, put them in touch with me. And I'll fucking broadcast this shit. But there are people who have come as refugees or close to it,
mm-hmm.
from particularly African countries,
yep.
that have had polio go through where they used to live.
Yep.
That understand what a polio epidemic
does. What a dead disease as far as what we're concerned over here. Yeah.
That's it. You know? And this, it didn't die here by chance.
No.
And it didn't die here because, you know, God loves white people in Australia.
Although they probably believe that too.
Yeah, we're not fucking... Yeah.
Except for, of course, the prayer circles that we're talking about here that with the waivers.
Yeah.
I wonder how much of an input that is.
Yeah, correlation is not causality, but, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah, I wonder. Well, you know what? I'll start the... Let's see what happens in Parramatta.
If it walks like a duck and quacks when you fuck it.
It's a thought. What?
Jesus fucking Christ. And look, you know, maybe it's a case of first world problems, but this is the biggest issue that the game's had this week.
Yeah. But we do have more in terms of fuck Channel 9.
Nice.
Hugh Marks has fired another salvo at the NRL saying it's not a given the league is part of the network's future. So we know that, you know, they're not happy about the May 28 restart. We know that he gave preliminary advice to ASIC that Channel 9's financial position would be far better than it's going to be because he had already just banked on not paying $130 million out to the game. He's saying, we have to be hard. We have agreed to nothing this year. This is during a conference hosted by Macquarie Bank. There is no agreement on value or for how long. It is not a given that the NRL has to be part of our future. It has to pay its way like all our content does. And if it doesn't, well, again, we are less reliant on that as a revenue source. But he also confirmed their interest in acquiring the NRL's digital arm.
Yeah, that's it. Like, we don't need that. It's fucking shit. Really, do we want it? Is it returning any value to us? Oh, no, we really want the fucking digital arm.
And let me tell you, there was no question about the sustainability of Channel 9's business and their relationship with the NRL prior to this once in a, you know, once in, in history or, you know, once in 100 years event.
But this is the thing. How has Corona affected a broadcaster? Why are we not here? And, you know, I haven't looked into this. It may have ways I can't think of.
I expect it's just a simple matter of it's affecting businesses. Therefore, it's probably affecting advertising revenue. It's probably taking a certain chunk out of people who are prepared to advertise on a network.
Yeah.
And the networks, obviously, they purchase content and broadcast it and sell ads in the breaks. Yep. And that's what makes them a business.
Yeah, exactly.
So, taking away their, as well, I mean, like we fucking said this a thousand times, like, you know, their three or four of their top five telecasts every year, removing those, of course, that's going to have a fucking-
Yeah, it's akin to, you know, the Last Dance documentary's on at the moment.
Yeah.
It would be akin at the end of 93 to say, well, okay, after 93- let's get rid of Jordan, Pippen, and Phil Jackson.
Yeah, but I mean, according to that documentary, I mean, he was always, Jerry Krause was always trying to get rid of Pippen from the sounds of it.
Or at least not pay him. Yeah. You know, and it makes me sad. You do get into this fucking thought bubble.
Yeah.
An echo chamber, if you will, where you think that, well, it's fucking common sense. You can see it. Most of the people that you interact with can see it.
Mm-hmm.
Surely the rest of the world can see it or the rest of the fucking thing. Then I'm reminded of things like, you know, you look at the listenership of this show.
Yep.
Then the percentage of that listenership that's on social media talking about the footy.
Yep.
It's a fucking small percentage.
Oh, it's a drop in it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And at the end of the day, that's the shitty thing about being involved in something that you're so passionate about. Because sometimes you just got to suck it up and go, well, okay, I can really not like Channel 9 and not like how they do it and not like any of this. But at the end of the day, they've got it.
Yep.
You know? And some people aren't in a position for Foxtel or can't get it because of where they live. Or, you know, if I was a Broncos fan, do you really need Foxtel?
Well, yeah. I mean, they're never-
All your games-
They're on there like twice a year maybe. Yeah, that's it. Maybe, you know?
And it's- Yeah, we're talking about positions when you're negotiating. Niner in the fucking driver's seat here.
Yeah, however, the NRL, in their favour, have a signed contract from Channel 9, and although the arguments could be made about, you know, the, you know, breaking or whatever, the problem for Channel 9 is that arguments would have to be made for breaking it, and they would be lengthy legal arguments that would have to be tested in a court.
That's it.
And even if they were to win at the end of it, they've still got none of the it would probably do as much damage as anything.
Exactly.
It's a tough situation for the NRL. I mean, I wish my dream would be that the NRL establish, like, you know, some sort of line of credit that gets them through this period and the next and gives just to buy them time to get their case together. As a value proposition for some other broadcaster.
I mean, don't know. Well, again, who's got the money?
Yeah.
Who's going to lend?
I would be happy. Who is CBS tied up with? Are they tied up with 7 or 10? Like, I would be happy for NRL just to, you know, live on one of the digital channels of Channel 10.
Yep.
Put one game on the main network on Friday night or something. I don't give a fuck. But, I mean, if you go throw the rest of them on... Have like a, you know, rugby league channel or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I'm all for it.
Yeah, what is interesting is there's a whole move away from, you know, free-to-air television.
Yeah.
Which gets its revenue from advertising.
Yeah.
And the fallacy, I think, is that that model of business is dead. You get the nine guy talking about, well, free-to-air is not as this anymore, and free-to-air is not that anymore.
Watching through the fucking apps and stuff, like, because we don't watch, we watch no free-to-air television live. The only thing we'll watch is, like, you know, for example, something like the Lego Masters or whatever.
Yep.
And usually it finishes too late for the kids anyway to watch on a, you know, on a, on a weeknight. So, so we'll sort of watch it over two nights. Fucking, they pack those streaming ones full ads, just like unskippable ads, just like the TV.
But then the thing is, if you look at the main competitor to free-to-air network television at the moment, YouTube, which runs completely from advertising revenue.
Exactly. And once again, sometimes they have unskippable 30-second ads at the front. Sometimes you can skip them after 5 seconds or whatever, but
And I am buoyed by the fact that, was it Volandis and fucking old mate that's interim Todd Greenberg now? We're over talking to Google. Previously. If nine don't, Jesus Christ, get fucking people with handycams out there and just put it on YouTube and say this is fucking like pirate NRL.
Yeah,
you know, we're doing it ourselves. We're starting here. Here are the games on YouTube.
Yeah,
get ready for it.
Yeah, yeah, it's nuts. I mean, I would just hope that, you know, someone with money could do something about it. I mean, but I think in this current climate, it's very wishful thinking. They're probably going to have to.
No one's going to lend.
They're going to have to bite. They're going to have to bite down, and probably just take it in the ass from Nine, at least for the rest of this contract.
Correct.
I mean, Channel 9 obviously is compensation, want to reduce deal for like another 3 years after that.
Yep.
Problem is, another 3 years after that, Corona's gone, everything's back to normal, advertising revenues have kicked in again massively.
Look, this is the thing though, again, like we were talking about at the beginning of the show. Corona's gone, yes, but things aren't back to normal. They're not back to a pre-Corona world.
Because in 2 years' time, though, you know.
No. So, Corona's gone.
Yeah.
But people have seen what this does.
Yeah.
And so, there will be fail-safes in place for,
well, yeah,
for things like large public gatherings and all of this stuff.
I'll tell you one thing that'll disappear because of Corona. Pandemic insurance. Because, let me tell you, every motherfucker of business will want to be buying it after this is done. And no one will want to hold those fucking grenades. Could you imagine? Like, an insurer would be like, aha, we got 100 years to fucking bank this. Yeah. Like, but if something happened, dead company. Dead. ceases to exist.
And surely insurers wouldn't be dubious enough to sell it and then just knowingly bankrupt themselves and go, oh, we're gone. We got no money left. It's an interesting situation. I do like that it seems the NRL's standing firm with its digital arm.
Yeah.
And I really do hope.
I feel like they're standing firmer than they really are in any position to at the moment, just on everything across the board, which is fucking great.
Yeah.
And it just, it does show that, like I'm prepared to back Volandis 100% for everything he's done up till now.
Yep.
I think he's exceeded, you know, all expectations, especially in some very tough negotiations.
Yeah.
If they fucking let the digital thing go, then I'll be absolutely furious.
Yes.
But I think if they can get away with the projected $28 million less for this season, but in payments from Channel 9, and then get this shortened season out and everything, I think if they can get away with that, even next year as well, like to the end of the contract, then that's probably a good result. Really, considering what's happened. Yeah,
that's it. And there would be an argument for them that if they provide content, you know, that it would be tough for Nine to argue, I assume, that by missing out on rounds like this, the NRL are in breach. When the NRL has quite clearly and publicly done everything in its power to resume
and to
providing
try and,
the contracted service.
And also when, you know, I mean, presuming that the news reports are correct about the negotiations, I mean, obviously they're slanted, but I feel like there's certain things that are probably we could accept as facts.
Yep.
And one of those facts is that the NRL are like, fucking, we'll play till Christmas and do like the full 24 rounds and finals.
That's it.
but it's Nine that wanted 15 and Foxtel that wanted 17 or something like that. You know, like, yeah. So they're like, hey, it's been our absolute intention and desire fulfill the exact number of contracted things that we've, you know, we're under.
Yeah.
So that's where I think it gets into, like, you know, I mean, Channel 9, obviously lawyers are very clever and they'll have their own little definitions and arguments that they'll be able to make, that Channel 9 hasn't, you know, the NRL hasn't fulfilled whatever. But I think at the same time, the NRL gets some very clever lawyers and do the same.
And again, you know what else would be fucking wonderful? If our NRL-loving shit-cunt Sharks fan Prime Minister could step in and say, you know what, Nine, we've heard you, that you believe they're in breach of contract. I'm going to fucking borrow and have it on the ABC. So, NRL, seriously, here's the money you need. It's a government grant. We've propped up fucking industries like this before.
Yep.
And we would like this sport to be shown on the ABC. We'll do the same thing for AFL as long as they can get around the fact that they're all in different states.
Mm-hmm. You know, if they're having issues with their telecast partner. Yeah.
That's it. We'll do the same thing.
Yep.
But Nine, we respect your view that you don't want it.
Yep.
No worries. So, you're now on the ABC and probably with a better suite of commentators.
Well, they can bring back Warren Boland and Tommy Radonikis and use some of that money to fucking bring Artie Beetson back from the dead and get the old Saturday afternoon crew going on.
Just a hologram version like Tupac. What do you think, hologram Artie?
What else we got there? Anti-vax has done that shit. Aubrey, yeah. So, Melbourne have been forced to change their Albury training plans after the local council voted that the NRL club could not use the Border Towns council-run sporting facilities. They held an extraordinary meeting on Tuesday night after the arrival of 50 Storm players and staff into Albury, with concerns raised about the potential health risk. They passed a motion that council facilities, including the home of the local rugby league club Greenfields Park, should not be made available to the Storm in a vote of 5-4.
Mm-hmm.
So now they're basically moving to Albury Sports Ground, which is the home of the local AFL club, which is privately owned.
There you go. This to me just sounds like a fairly shrewd political move. You know, when's the next fucking local election in Albury?
Yeah, that's it. No idea. Yeah.
The local council has just gone, no, look, we didn't want anyone from the big city coming here to do this and bring their big city diseases and all of this. We put a motion in place. Well, we've done all we can. Can't stop them from, you know.
Yep, done everything in our power.
That's it.
It's out of our hands now that it's privately run place. And
that's it.
And look, you know, voters, we agree with you. Cam Smith is a cunt.
Yes.
We did our best.
Yes.
What else we got there? That's it. That's all I've got. Do you have any other news things that you want to bring up this week?
Not so much news.
I was expecting to go full fucking hit him up this week on that Channel 9 thing, but that the digital thing hasn't developed as a story. It's just become
it
started as a one-liner. It's remained a one-liner, and hopefully it remains that way forever.
The more I think about it, you know, the more I start to feel that maybe Nine aren't feeling as strong as we're assuming their position should be. For them to have-
They're just feeling financial pressure of losing fucking money.
Yeah, but for them to have- their top C levels come out now.
Yeah, yeah.
Like generally they wouldn't be making statements concerning something that they don't have a direct involvement in yet. You know, obviously they go past their desk.
Well, it's a giant conflict of interest, because essentially the situation is, due to COVID-19, Channel 9's financials for the year of our Lord 2020 are fucked.
Yeah.
If they can somehow offload the responsibility of $130 million to the NRL, that significantly improves their bottom line.
Correct.
As $130 million would improve anyone's bottom line.
Yes.
Fucking give me $130 million, please.
That's it.
But if they, through their media arms, can talk down the NRL or perhaps derail the NRL coming back.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then it decreases the value of the NRL, and it makes it, and so therefore it either makes it easy. They could either use their media pressure to force them to not be able to return, which I feel they've failed on. You know, we'd hope, or force the NRL into a position where there's perceived as less value that they can then use to leverage to get that 130 turned into 110.
Yep.
Which is what they're trying to, do. Or the 100 and what?
That's it.
I can't remember. How much they've wanted to get? 28 off, isn't it?
At the end of the day, this is where the NRL's caught between a rock and a hard place.
Yep.
And it doesn't help that the fuckhead RLPA and dickheads like Cam Smith, who are showing their true colours as firmly being in this end of his career for a payday.
Yes.
Like, he gives no shits about anything else to do with the game or anybody else associated with it.
And I think it's not just the money. I think it's the fact that he's also achieved the number of games. Like, he's going to have an unassailable number of games to be the top person there. Unassailable, whatever accolades he's got. So now it's just like, he does care about money. He doesn't even give a fuck about like legacy or anything like that. Cause that's, in terms of statistically and in the record books that exists there and can't be rubbed away, no matter how much a cunt he is.
But I'm aware I keep bringing up fucking basketball examples lately. Fuck, it's been fun to get back into that. But
I wish
there's that whole
that
thing.
I've lived in the fucking like 88, 89, 90, 91, 92, like that era when the Pistons were fucking chopping people.
So fucking good. So fucking good. But you look at the record books.
Yeah.
And Karl Malone was a better player than Michael Jordan.
Yeah, based on statistics. Yeah,
just numbers.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so I think that'll be Cam Smith's downfall.
Yep.
Is that he'll be firmly remembered as an absolute grub piece of shit.
Well, look, in this day and age, like right now, today, one of the things that drives me fucking crazy about this whole lockdown thing on the rugby league side is just endless fucking lists of this and the best that and the top that, and then they've done that. They've done every list known to man, so then it has to be like, the forwards and the fucking locks. Yeah. So it has to be the halfbacks, and then it has to be but of the NRL era of the, and I'm like, but fucking Jesus Christ. Yeah. I don't like lists anyway. But I mean, this is like fucking list of palooza, and it's just gone way too far.
That's it.
But in that scenario though, when they talk about the greatest players, I almost forgot my point for a moment. But when they talk about the list of the greatest players, despite all of those statistics and everything like that, even right now, as he still plays and is top of mind, and he's still not fucking in the top three that people put down on their lists.
Yeah, no, not at all.
And that's now. People are going to forget.
But the thing is, this is where the NRL needs to do a spotless job of communicating with players, but also doing it in as much part as they can publicly.
Yeah.
Because the thing that the big winner here, or sorry, the big determining vote is going to be public sentiment in a lot of these cases. And that means that if the NRL can sit down with the RLPA and whatever fucking players and say, righto, so we got this much for this year.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck everything else you heard about this much over this many years and all this stuff. We were owed this much for this year.
Mm-hmm.
We took this much of it and gave an equal amount to each of the clubs.
Yep.
And that left this much for us to run head office.
Yep.
If you want to go through it, we will show you exactly what we've paid everybody from this person down to this person, down to the fucking cleaning contract for the people that will come in and clean the offices.
Yep. Right?
That money's gone to head office. You need that to run a business.
Done your fucking business, but in the spirit of full transparency and everything. You know,
that's it. We're not siphoning money away or going on fucking jaunts to Mallorca or, Thailand to fuck Jeffries for a week.
That'd be pretty inexpensive, though. I mean, that's cheaper than going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but, look, there are two things you should
not never- Not that I know, but I could assume.
Two things when you're traveling that you should never skimp out on.
Jeffries.
Jeffries and Sherpas.
Both of them.
Don't negotiate.
Qualified guides you into dangerous and miraculous places.
Assailing a peak. You might see some dead bodies on your way and need oxygen. But they need to do it in a way where they say, now this is what we were going to get. Nine have come back and they have said that because we're only going to be doing this, this is how much they will give us.
Mm-hmm.
That means out of this head office money, these people have all lost their jobs.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. They're now on Centrelink or they're getting whatever. It also means that this much we were going to give to all the clubs is reduced by this much.
Mm-hmm.
What would you like us to do here, players?
Yeah. That's the pie.
Oh, no, you shouldn't have. No, no, no. We don't have a time machine. We can't go and not give fucking Cam's wife a $15,000 ring. Okay?
Believe me, we wish we could.
So what are we doing now?
Yeah.
And the players, there is no other answer than, you know, okay, well, it's a percentage decrease or-
Yeah, and then, well, now, this is your chance. Tell me that you understand what we've just broken down to you in black and white fucking ink on the paper in front of you. You understand? So, furthermore, based on our mutual understanding of how we're going forward, there wouldn't be any need for someone to then go to the fucking newspaper and start gobbing off about dumb fucking pay shit.
Yeah.
Would there?
And we're happy to publish that on our site. We'll publish that on NRL.com. Yep. That we've spoken to the players and they understand the position we're in and they're with the game.
And what they need to do then is say, listen, Clint, you're Hawkins vagina fearing fucking bitch. you cuck. Listen, RLPA is your fucking responsibility. Be responsible.
Yeah, keep your fucking players.
Reinforce what we've all agreed and know to be true. In black and white, reinforce it to your fucking charges.
Yeah.
And tell them to shut the fuck up.
And by the way, Clint, what pay cut are you taking?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? Yeah, they're rocking a hard place, but there is a way through it, but it needs to be spotlessly done. It needs to be publicly done, and the numbers need to be clear to the players.
And remember, the media on two fronts they are your enemy.
Yes.
They're looking for someone to fucking gob off about this shit.
Yeah.
An active player to gob off about this shit. I mean, God, they can always flush Gordy whenever they need to hear the fucking the water trickling.
That's it.
But they're your enemy. They want the negative thing. And so, I mean, the real rock and hard place for NRL as they move through this new shortened season is – you kind of need the media because you want the excitement and you want things to, be pumped up. But at the same time, fuck, I'd love if they just locked it to NRL.com.
Yeah, NRL.com. Or, you know what, wouldn't be the worst thing in the world if, who does the Channel 7 sports up here?
I have no fucking idea.
Give them an exclusive or two.
Yeah. Yep.
Just, and not in a sneaky way. Throw them a couple of interviews they wouldn't have got otherwise.
Yeah, and then maybe the other media days are just done kind of like they do the media days on the Wednesday mornings or whatever it was back when football was a thing that happened in real life, when they'd have just, it'd be like two players turn or three players turn that week, and they'd front up in like a, in the press conference thing after training or whatever. And then, you're in a controlled situation, and if there's a journalist that wants to be a funny cunt and try and stir the shit, fuck out. You're not invited to the next one, mate.
Yep, exactly. The page from the old Wayne Bennett school of
the page from the fucking AFL school book of the way that they absolutely cut those journalists down there into line. Mm-hmm. That's what they probably need to do.
Mm.
And
again, for all its failings, there's a sport that understands its place in the world,
mm-hmm.
and that understands that people will want to read about the sport, and will hopefully very quickly realise if everyone else has interviews with players and talking about games, and you're writing puff pieces because you're not in the room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of AFL, did you see that fucking situation with that guy? I think he was a coach.
Yes. Yes, I did.
I mean, we've got fucking over here. We've got Latrell Mitchell's been off footy, was underdone at the start of the season, and he's been off footy for 2 months, so he's looking a bit fucking puffed at training.
Yeah.
In the first training session for 2 months.
Yep.
That's what we've got over here. That's the news of the day. Let's blow that up into a terrible fucking thing. Then down here we've got fucking dude fucking stalking another chick dressed up as like, with some female as a female alias on fucking Crystal Pistol and like like it's tremendous. We've got fucking Joe Exotic down there coaching the AFL, and then we just got like a dude that's a little bit fat and out of puff up here.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Man, That's how good a job they do of keeping their media in line, though, that it's not like this fucking crazy circus.
And the officer that leaked the photo has been suspended already. They've found out who it is.
Yeah.
They know who it is, and they're like, yeah, fuck that.
Yeah, and then they made a statement saying that, you know, this shouldn't be something that comes out and becomes like a news thing.
And it, you know.
Like total, utter control of the media apparatus down there around that sport.
Like, how good is meth, though? Like, really?
I don't know. Is it, though?
Well, you know, what happens when people get drunk? Yeah, there might be a bit of a punch on or-
get their dick out, maybe.
That's it. Yeah. Like, meth makes you put thought into shit. Like, you're making plans.
Yeah, like, elaborate shit, though. Yeah. Like, you're creating these fucking, you know, secret identities of a reverse gender to the one in which you are.
And this is the thing, though. I feel that he doesn't get the appreciation he deserves because all that anyone's seen of him is that pose where he's, you know, at the desk.
At the desk with the wig and the-
Done up very well. Speaking of Jeffries.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't go so far as Jeffrey because, I mean, like, you know, Jeffreys are like fucking tens.
but with the scheming, the meth scheming, I guarantee that if you went to his house, there would be a fucking bin in that bathroom full of used Veet wax strips that he's fucking done his legs and his pits. And fucking, like, that's some intricate shit.
Goodbye Horses CD in his fucking stereo.
It. Yeah, fuck yeah.
a deep fucking well under his house with a bucket attached to a string.
Serious fuck. Hope that guy gets some much needed help.
Or, you know, you go girl. I mean, you know.
A reality TV show with Nine.
I mean, really, I mean, all he was doing wrong was stalking the girl. I mean, you know, just maybe less stalking and just, yeah, enjoy yourself. Recaps for round 8. It was Magic Weekend. Can you fucking believe it? The weekend. Who would have thought at the start of the year, or fucking not even the start of the year, when did they announce the dates and everything, people getting excited and shit, like October maybe, or, you know, August, September, like, it was a long time ago. People buying tickets and shit. We had tickets for stuff, and we had all friends coming up, and, I mean.
There was chicken. There was going to be chicken.
Oh, there was going to be chicken. They're closed down now, fucking.
Oh, although.
We were going to march the Andes.
It was past. it was past Magic Round. That I had like 12 days of crippling hemorrhoids after eating nothing but Fat Belly Jacks for 3 days
straight. Well, we had it. Yeah, we like, I on the Saturday, I had it for every meal.
Yeah.
Including breakfast.
Yeah.
Like, anyway, to celebrate, I did actually make some hot chicken on the weekend. It was fucking great. I had some dinner tonight as well. It was.
Oh, that's nice. Very good. Thanks. Yeah. Where's the fucking.
It's not perfect yet. It's pretty fucking good, but when I perfect it, I think I know what I need to do to perfect it.
What is it about me that makes you think I demand perfection and that my standards aren't in the fucking gutter?
Yeah, that's true. But next time it's going to be even better. So, like, yeah, within the next 2 weeks, I reckon, I'll probably crack it out again. And it's pretty, pretty, pretty good. I tell you, although I did make it, and like the initial heat that it was set at was like the really fucking hot level.
Yeah, really?
Like, it was fun. And then it was like, I was almost like my chest was hot all night, and I was like, I can't go to bed. I don't know if I'm going to like fucking like get like heartburn and shit if I lay down like this. And so I stayed up and watched the Jordans for, you know, a couple of hours, and I went to bed about midnight, and it was fine. And it was next day, fine, perfectly fine. So tonight, anyway, I backed it off like a third of the cayenne pepper, and it was still pretty fucking hot, but it dissipated faster though. So I think I need to, I don't know, put some more sugar in it or something just to like offset the, just to make it more like a day-to-day heat rather than a fuck yourself up with like 3 pints of beer heat. But it was good. It was very good. The recaps this week from the Twitch games, the Tigers 12 defeated the Sharks 0. Benji was another man of the match. I swear he's fucking looking at the Dalian medal if we keep playing it out in the game all year long, because he's every Tigers game that they win, he's a man of the match. And this, And this game was no exception. He scored a try again. He's on about a try a game pace, and he does some other, you know, huge thing like a 40-20 or, you know, a big break or shit that turns the game as well. He's on fire. The Mighty Manly Seagulls 18 defeat the Broncos 0, which sounds like a big win, and it was, but until about the 65th minute, it was nil all. It was fucking Stress City. And then after the first try, then the Manly just fucking smashed them.
Have you had a game with Manly in it where you haven't been Manly yet?
No, I have not. Yeah, I will not.
Okay.
That's my one concession that I have. The Rabbitohs 30 defeated the Knights 4.
Ooh.
It was looking like at halftime, it was looking like the first chance we've had to score 40 points in
how's
a game.
How's the trial going at fullback?
Well, yeah, not really. He's in the centres, isn't he?
Okay, fair enough.
You know, people can say what they fucking like about super coaches and this and that, but fucking Alex Johnson's the fullback of that side. Let me tell you. And that's why they're travelling so well. The Knights, they were down 30-0 with 20 minutes to go, and I was like, this is a good chance. We could even nudge 50 here. Fucking Kalen Ponga scored the only points. It was a good try too.
Flat track bully.
Yeah, yeah. And then it was basically just, it was all Knights after that. And they only conceded that one try, but it did cut the 50 down. So it turned it only to 34 win. The Raiders 1 defeat the Bulldogs 0 in extra point, in golden point extra time. It was a dour encounter. The Bulldogs really have got less than little going for them, let me say. The Cowboys 13 upset the Roosters 6. It was 6-6 for a while.
Ooh.
Asiata with a long-range field goal to put the Cowboys ahead. And then the last play of the game where it was just like the Roosters were working, like it was right before the end of the game with the field goal. So the Roosters had like a set. And not even a set, like three tackles. And so Teddy went for a chip and chase, got picked out of midair, and then carted to the house for a try to end it. So 13-6 is how it ended. The Warriors, in the most epic upset of the round, the Warriors 12 defeat the Eels 6.
Jesus.
The Eels scored immediately, and the people are on the chat are like, you're going to get fucking done by 50. And I'm like, I know. But the Warriors dug deep.
Fucking the Tamworth vibes.
Cody Nikorima in 7, Blake Green in 6. Cody Nikorima kicked a 40-20, which, and then from the scrum base, they got Tuivasa-Sheck one-on-one with someone, and he scored under the sticks to tie it up.
Yeah, okay.
And then in the second half, the Eels are doing nothing but fucking hammering the Warriors, and they were not getting past like their 40 every set. But Blake Green kicked a 40-20. They got him into position to score a try, and then he kicked it. Then Blake Green started kicking 40-20s to just turn the tide of the game, and tremendous effort.
Nice.
And with our Papali'i barging over to give them the win. The Panthers 4 defeat the Titans 0.
Fucking oath.
In another dour game. To'o scored in about the first set of the game.
Yep.
And then it was just a fucking punish ever since. The most notable part of that game, of course, was when Ash Taylor, or maybe it was Tyron Roberts, went for a 40-20 down the left-hand side. The two, it wasn't going to go out. It was down, it was past the 20, but it wasn't going to go out of bounds. It was just going to pull up short.
Yep.
And so the winger and the center of Penrith on that side of the field were like, we're just going to leave it. It's not going to go in here. And Cleary just swooped through, grabbed it, and ran over the sideline.
Oh, and turned it into a 40-20. I fucking hate those.
It was fucking hilarious. The two players were literally backed off, but he's just gone swept in from the side and straight over the sideline.
Oh, fuck.
That's a couple of games in a row where Cleary has done nothing.
Yeah, well, he's, you know, TikToking with rat bags.
Yeah, I guess. So you can watch the complete streams for the round as well as edited highlights for each game at twitch.tv/thisweekinleague. So chuck us a follow over there and you'll be notified when I go live with games, usually on Friday and Sunday nights. And it seems like we get way more people on the chat when I can start it earlier. So I'll try and start it like, you know, around 8:30, 9 p.m. when I can.
Yep.
It's about as early as I can do it. Thanks for everyone who gets on. We've got some regulars that jump on the streams and it's always a good time. So thank you to you guys. And I'll see you on there on Friday night. Mailbag this week. I've got one here from Chapo. Will this season be classed as an asterisk season due to it not being a full season?
We've already discussed that.
Well, we discussed it in the Facebook group. Yeah. So I thought I'd bring it out to the.
No, we did it on an episode.
Really?
Yeah.
The answer is no. It's not an asterisk. We've had two rounds. We're getting like 20.
Yeah,
so I mean,
that's it.
It's close enough.
Yeah.
Sure, there's probably you know, we're going to get the same dance around 7, 8, 9, 10
yep.
as we do in a normal year.
You know, this season probably will be tougher than any others. So, in saying that, it's the reverse of an asterisk round. In that...
It's going to be a true triumph of conditioning coaching, I think, because...
Correct.
The teams that are going to make the finals, it's going to be a combination of the teams that have done did well before Rona hit.
Yep.
But then it's also going to be a case of the teams that get that are competitive out the gate.
Yes.
Immediately, because with 2 months without contact and things like that,
yeah.
teams that don't have coaches with great systems and structures yep. in place. Are going to take a lot longer to ramp up to the point. They may yes. take another 4 weeks, you know, round four of the new competition
yeah.
before they even,
yeah.
you know, start to sort of approach what, you know, their best, you know, so.
And the other thing that's going to need to be very carefully managed is emotional and psychological energy. And by that, I mean that these guys, yeah, they're footy players
mm-hmm.
and they know, and for all of their careers, or their professional careers at least, that they go back to preseason training on, you know,
yeah.
this day.
Yep.
And then they have this long into a preseason.
Mm-hmm.
And then they get into and they've got 25 rounds, semifinals. Yep. They've got a roadmap for how that looks. This is unexplored territory.
Yep.
You don't want your teams to get the emotional yips,
mm-hmm.
you know, where they're just so overcome or they're happy to be back or they're excited and they can't yep. contain that. And it's where I think teams like you said, the Storm and the Roosters, teams like that,
yep.
have a very big advantage.
Yeah, I think Desi's another one that will have people right. I think Wayne to an extent, but it depends how much he wants to persist with this Latrell fullback business.
Yeah.
Seems like he still wants to, but, you know, that could be smoke and mirrors as well. But
in trying to light a candle here,
mm-hmm.
I really would like to believe that Wayne sees this situation for what it is.
Mm-hmm.
There's a young man that's struggling with the pressures that come with being a high-profile sports player.
Yep.
And especially one of an Indigenous background
yep.
who doesn't shy away from it,
mm-hmm.
you know, who carries that flag proudly.
Quite literally yeah, in the commercial. Yeah,
that's it. You know, and maybe looks at it and says, well, you know what, he probably wouldn't have been my first choice otherwise, but maybe I don't need to add to his shit at the moment.
Yeah.
So,
yep.
that's what I'd like to think Unky Wayne's thinking while he's fucking his gilf.
You know, what he's thinking while he's fucking his gilf is really of no concern to me. I mean, I can leave that aside. Oh, you know, yeah. your mileage may vary. Maybe maybe it gets you there faster. I don't know. But Chris says, the worst game you've ever attended. I'll give you mine. Broncos versus Penrith at QE2 in the year 2000. Broncos flogged us 48-6. Such a shitty place to watch footy, and it was even worse when your team's getting smashed.
Yeah,
I'm really good at fucking repressing the bad things in my life down and just pushing them aside yeah. into this part of me that's probably going to manifest as cancer. But
you wake up one day, you left nuts like a watermelon. Yeah, that's where it's been going.
Oh, that was a 2007 grand final. the worst game. So I guess the way I'm going to take this is like, you know, the most unpleasant, like not the poorest quality.
Mm.
But I don't have any specific memories, but I definitely agree with you. Every Northern Eagles or Manly game I watched in that QE2 era of the Broncos, and I lived at Mount Gravatt at the time, so we could almost walk to the mm-hmm. games. It's just a short bus ride from home. So it was super convenient. So it was great. I'd go down there and I'd take father-in-law down there who was a Broncos supporter and stuff. And man, sitting in that cavernous fucking outdoor
yeah.
cunt of an arena in winter when it was fucking
concrete steps.
It was cold and it wasn't like the Super League days. In the Super League days, like the Broncos would get fucking, you know, they get 70,000 to a game of St. George yeah. or, you know, just after Super League finished.
Yep.
But in that sort of era, this was not that sort of era. And like there was no cunt there.
Yeah.
Maybe there was 20,000 in a yeah. fucking 80,000 seat thing doesn't show up as anything. It's like when you watch a fucking Bulldogs game now when they're at ANZ.
And they didn't have the fucking con- crowd control facilities to say, well, okay, everyone's sitting there.
Yeah, yeah. And also, and I mean, it was of a similar size to ANZ for capacity, I think, but it wasn't like as modern. Like it was like ANZ had the, you know, the huge oval where people would sit and everything, but it kind of felt like it was built in.
Yep.
Whereas QE2 felt like it was just like rickety, like you could see under the seats.
Yeah.
Was like, you know, there was no wall behind the seats, you know, it was like fucking, it was just flimsier sort of.
A step above a fucking high school grandstand.
Yeah, yeah. And Manly cops and fucking ass whippings back in the days there, just like it was, you know, just pre Desmond getting things going again.
Again, it's not like there've been some fucking rough games.
Yeah.
Like there have been some rough patches. But I think the one that hurt me most was the 2004 qualifying final.
Mm-hmm.
We were beaten by the Bulldogs.
Mm-hmm.
Because I remember watching it at Mr. Wars' then girlfriend's house.
Oh, so, okay, this is not one you've attended, though.
No.
Okay.
But it's just, like all of these fucking emotions in me, in that the other one of our mates that was there was a fucking mad keen Bulldogs fan.
Yeah.
And one of those fans that's just such a nice person.
Yeah.
That you can't
begrudge him his moment. Yeah.
That's it. But the thing is that Wars was giving me enough shit that I wanted to fucking punch someone and I couldn't take it out on the Dogs fan that had just beaten us. So it was, it was emotionally confusing.
Yeah. I mean, I think like the 2007 grand final fucking sucked balls, but that was, you know, it's still like beforehand there was like next to ANZ, there's like the Sydney Aquatic Centre and there was a function there, you know, and having beers with Cliffy and stuff and like, it was fucking great. Like, I mean, that's like great memories from that. It's just, you know, the game sucked. But I remember afterwards I tried to fight every fucking Storm supporter I could find.
And, you know, here's the thing. Down the track from that 2004 game.
Yeah.
It's, you know, on my side of things, it's the Yuri of Cleary. And on their side of things, they're looking at Josh Reynolds to be their fucking saviour.
Yeah.
So, yeah, levels.
Catfish. Catfish Reynolds. Why has that become his nickname? Really? Probably because it's extremely hurtful to him, I guess, but, you know. I'm sure there's other hurtful nicknames.
Although, he wasn't really catfished. Like, she was as attractive in real life as she pretends to be on...
on the gram.
You know?
Yeah, I guess it was more the fake fetuses. She wasn't catfishing him with you know, tits or, you know, the ability to fit into a medium-sized Sharks polo shirt. For example. Sam says, what's Jay's favourite movie?
What's my favourite movie?
Yeah.
Backdoor Sluts 9.
Who's in the cast of Sluts for that particular?
I don't know. But that's a deep cut because that's actually the movie from an episode of South Park where the boys think that they have a copy of Lord of the Rings.
Actually, I've seen that
but one. It's actually a copy of Backdoor Sluts 9. I think movies are a complete and utter waste of fucking time. And you get all you need from the small screen these days. You know, I've got new Rick and Morty's back.
Yeah, you watched that one yet?
Yeah.
Yeah, I only watched it today. I forgot. Oh. I had it for 2 days and I was like, oh, fuck, I've got to watch.
Tickets, please. I enjoy Kevin Spacey films. I find his characters quite easy to relate to in most of his movies. Mel Gibson films.
You know, I'm not going to hear. Look, I think he's unfairly maligned. I mean, who hasn't wanted to call a cop sugar tits? I'm sure I've wanted to meet a cop that I think would satisfy the criteria of being worthy of sugar tits.
I enjoyed the Star Wars films.
You probably enjoyed the first half of American History X.
Oh, dude, that the fucking sound.
Yeah.
The sound that the teeth
the curb
make.
The curb stomping sound.
What is it? Is it a Foley? Is that the sound guy?
Yeah.
Like not the fucking
the mixer, yeah, Foley artist as well. Yeah, who
not
yeah.
The fucking dumb engineer guy who ends up getting awards for all the work that other people did.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about the guy's teeth, like on the like
the scrape, yeah, the sound.
Yeah,
I want to know what they did to get that.
Yeah.
Fucking noise. Oh, what other films do I like? Yeah, again, you know, that's not a film. The Sopranos is a great TV show.
Yep.
I'm a simple man. I don't need the big screen and all of its, you know, Hollywood jam their agenda down your throat, you know, Illuminati bullshit.
Oh, God.
Just give me the small screen, good stories, great actors, time travel. Quantum Leap, that was another great show.
you know exactly what I'm thinking about right now, right?
That's it.
So Lachlan, he included this video, which I have not watched because I just do not want to, about the 10 greatest NRL players of all time from NRL on 9. And you very presciently said, if you can type them out, we'll discuss them. you said you'll probably forget to watch the video. I actively do not watch these videos. But he was very kind enough to give us the list that they made, which was 10th. Laurie Daly, 9, Tamalolo, 8, Kronk, 7, Inglis, 6, Fittler, 5, Slater, 4, Lockie, 3, Smith, 2, Johns, 1, JT. I hate fucking lists. I can't tell you how much I hate fucking lists. And the ranking, the need to rank things. Even like that question about your favourite movie, like I couldn't answer that. And then someone would go, well, what are your top 5 favourite movies? I don't fucking know. Like,
yeah. Like depends.
I don't carry lists around in my head of shit because I don't feel the need to organise things.
It also depends firmly on things like mood.
Yeah.
You know, some days I could sit down and quite happily watch the first two Godfather films back to back.
Yeah.
Other days I'd find sitting through the fucking, where were they? Fucking Cuba scene, a punish. Like just that fucking 20 minutes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, horses for courses. The issue I have with all of these lists is that NRL lends itself to having such a wide range of athletes.
Yeah.
You got people ranging from your small, crafty players right up to your big demolition wrecking balls. And it's so hard to quantify
what are the criteria? What are the criteria that you use to compare the JTs with each other?
Yeah, like, that's it.
Like, really, I mean, you know.
Then you get into that situation of, well, okay, when you really dig on it, there's so many other variables about these things that go into making them great. So, you know, they talk about Thurston being better than Johns. Okay, well, what were the other teams like at that time? Who did they play in the finals?
You know what? But you know what? I think the ultimate boiling down, like you're looking at it too academically and reasonably. I think they did a list like this and put JT at the top ahead of Johns as a calculated move to drive engagement and clicks.
Because outrage drives clicks.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it was there for. Kronk 8.
Yeah.
When you look at him, why is Kronk 5 places lower than Smith? You know what I mean?
Why?
Because I know who the impactful person of that duo was.
Yeah.
Because Smith doesn't win them when Kronk left, and where Kronk goes wins them when Kronk goes there to them.
That's it.
I mean, that seems like a fucking no-brainer.
Yeah. Spot on.
Put Smith ahead of him if you want to, but 5 places? Fuck out of here. They should be right next to each other. Either way.
You know, I don't know. Look, you know, do the math. Did the Melbourne Storm with Smith and no Kronk win more than with Kronk and no Smith? Who knows?
Yeah, because Captain Cuntox wanted to get his 400 games up.
True.
So when were they playing without him?
Who knows? It's not a fucking unknowable. It's very knowable. Who's counted, I should say.
Who cares is what you're trying to say.
I'm all for creating fantasy teams, mm-hmm. as in if you had to draft a team, who would you draft?
Yeah.
Because I think that forces you to put more thought into it.
Yeah.
You know, to really go through and go, well, okay, if I've got a lock, who do I have to pick as the best lock of the decade?
Yeah.
Then the other thing that comes in at NRL lists is that if you're trying to be as close to real life as you can, all your picks affect each other.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
You know, it's how they've picked Origin. How many times was there an Origin player, and everyone knows that if it wasn't for their combination with the player next to them, they probably wouldn't have made the team just based on their own performance.
Yeah.
But together, they're greater than the sum of their parts.
Yep.
So, man, really thank you for writing that out. I agree 100% with Nate in that I'd say Fox has done that just to drive outrage. And just
it was NRL on nine.
Oh, sorry, nine.
Anyway. But yeah, Fox has done enough of these fucking lists.
And also, it's not hard to take advantage of the Queensland versus New South Wales thing.
Yeah.
Because realistically, it probably would go Johns. I'd put Cronk ahead of Thurston as well.
Yeah, I mean, I'd probably put Lockyer ahead of Thurston. I mean, Thurston was, he was a very good player.
Very, very good player and gutsy.
But outside
gutsy.
Of that grand, outside of the 2015 grand final, what are his crowning moments?
Yeah.
All in the fucking Queensland side with Smith, Cronk, Slater,
yeah.
and Inglis and every other cunt. Yeah,
that's it.
Like, that's where the majority of his achievement occurred.
And if we're looking at that premiership winning side,
mm-hmm.
you know, he potentially fucking choked when it counted in the conversion.
Yeah. No, I mean, it was like the sideline as it gets. I mean, fucking, yeah,
I know.
Come on.
I know. But did it behind a fucking all-time forward pack.
Yeah.
You know, would it be safe to say that nine, and oh, look, and you know, at that stage, he wasn't terrible. I was going to say nine's the only position that they didn't have a fucking fantastic forward in.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was a great fucking forward pack for a half to play behind.
Yeah.
So, yes, I'm all for lists, but yeah, let's do them by position if we're going to do them at all.
Yeah. Next, from Twitter, we've got JR_Buff. He said, do you think there are too many ex-players in the media? The majority are too scared to speak out because they want to be one of the boys still. The game needs genuine commentators who actually talk about the game, know the rules, and leave opinions for magazine TV. I don't think that's ever going to happen because there is a perception in rugby league at all levels of the sport, whether it be administration, media, whatever, that there are rugby league people.
Yes.
And you must be one of these rugby league people to get a seat at the rugby league table. And look, maybe there is too many ex-players. It feels like there probably is too many ex-players, just to your original question, because almost the entirety of the media is built out by ex-players.
That's it.
And they're ex-players with different purposes as well. Like, you get ones, like when you get Cronk on a fucking thing talking about the game, it's great.
Yeah.
Because he knows it back to front. The way he played, it was very analytical, and so it's an easy step for him to make to provide analysis and quality analysis outside of the game.
That's it.
But then, you know, you get like Hindy and Fletcher. Like fucking Brian Fletcher, I feel like he has done so much damage to his legacy on the field.
Yeah.
By the fucking jokey comedy character that he's now become.
Yes.
Motherfuckers forget how great he was for New South Wales and shit, man. Like, he was the shit back then.
Yeah.
But
like fucking engine room.
He's made me forget it. He's literally made me forget how many good fucking Origin memories he's given me just by being a clown these days.
Because of all of the take the piss and let's do a whole segment where it's nothing but us knocking on or falling over or missing tackles.
Yeah, yeah.
That's it.
And so, look, I feel like there's too many of them.
Hmm.
I don't think that a comedy subgenre needs to be something that's necessary in rugby league television.
Yeah.
I'm happy for people to have a lighthearted look at things and, you know, where they can go off their nut with an opinion or they, you know, and they can have heated debates and, you know, they can laugh at a funny thing that happened through the week or something. But to have like these people that seem to be just designated like Matty Johns and stuff, like Matty Johns yep. is way too good at broadcasting in general. Like he's definitely got the abilities, like a talented personality.
Yes.
That he doesn't have to be just the fucking comedy guy.
No.
You know what I mean? And his shows don't have to be the comedy shows.
Yeah.
He's a personable fucking guy who can speak well.
Yep.
And obviously knows the game, has had a great career, and is like, he's just a good on-camera personality. Yes. That I don't think he has to be, you know, the comedy guy. And I don't think that genre of show even really needs to fucking exist, to be honest. So, like, yeah, getting rid of all that sort of shit and just having guys like Matty Johns who can be funny and crack a joke if they need to, if the situation calls for it. But it's not a comedy, you know, centric
yeah.
thing.
Yeah. Think yeah. back to the glory days of commentators. And I'm talking about your Darryl Eastlake days.
Huge.
He wasn't an ex-player.
Yeah.
You know, he may have played. But I would be happy with a team of, you know, you'd have a commentator. And you'd have
a professional broadcaster and a color guy who is perhaps yeah. an ex-player who
that's it
can speak well yeah. on the game. Yeah. And you know what? Unfortunately, I don't think Freddie and Joey are really those guys either, to be honest. It's like your Kronks.
I'd love Kronk. I love Joey when he talks about
Matt Elliott, the game. Another guy on the radio who's that's fucking it. Great.
Fucking
and talking
when he,
about the game.
When he had his show where he'd do the fucking the pause and the this and the running plays and
yep.
that was great. But yeah, the whole issue of ex players, I think they need to open up the scope. You know, you look at all of those shows, and there's a range of players there.
Yep.
And I tell you what, if the networks actually wanted to give back, then I would be. It would go in their favour. That at some stage they go get a bunch of ex-players that no one's heard from.
Yeah.
And get them in on shows. Get them in to review where the teams that they played for are at and talk about that just so there's some different voices.
And maybe unearth the ones that can be developed with further.
Not even that.
You know.
Not even that. But to celebrate the fucking history of the game. Yeah. To get guys who aren't too fucking CTE'd.
Yep.
Or aren't going to say anything, you know, casually racist or homophobic.
Yeah.
Which would be out there, unfortunately. Yeah. But to come in and talk about, okay, well, this is how when they played the game, this is what they did, and
yep.
this is where they see it now, and,
yep.
you know, just so much simple stuff about, yep. oh, well, if I was coaching this team, this is what I would tell because I played prop. This is what I would tell those props to do.
Yeah. Yep.
That's where I think the opportunity lies in ex-players, not so much in just having the same ones be the same fucking mouthpieces they always are.
Yeah, but there's also like this, like I don't know if it's reality, but there's certainly, like I feel like it's a perception that it's the players that are like the most famous players yeah. are the ones that then slide into like, if you think about yeah. Channel 9, you think about that list of greatest players that we just mentioned. Like, just about fucking all yeah, of them.
That's it.
Tom Alolo's still playing, so he's an exception. But you look at Channel 9, Fittler,
maybe Lockie, that's why Kronk's 8.
Joey.
You've just figured, yeah. you just hit the nail yeah. on why Kronk's 8.
JT, like their top four, yeah. with the, or top five with the exception of Cameron Smith,
yep.
who's still playing, are all fucking just slid straight into Channel 9. Maybe they go, yep. maybe that's it.
There you go.
They like Joey's laughing, you know, talking about spiders. Fucking... but serious now from our man Hammers. He's said As you two are aware, been through a rough spell lately. Didn't really have anywhere to turn to but the gang at Tool Nation, whether they knew what I was going through or not, picked me up and kept me trudging along until I could get through the other side. This group of people, whom most of whom have never met each other, are a collection of absolute top-notch cunts. I want to thank Nate and Jay just for being who you are and helping me out of the doldrums, whether it's 2 a.m. blind as fuck Fortnite sessions or TikToks of sleuths wanting a good old Hutchins experience. You guys were there. But I also want to give a special shout out to JR Buff, Special K, and Sam the Warden. They know why, and I just want to let them know they're awesome cunts. Also, the other mob that made my life better, thank you. Lastly, if anyone's out there doing it tough, if you're an OG or new listener, please reach out. There are so many awesome people here that genuinely want to help. Much love, Hammers. Thank you, sir. You're welcome, sir.
And we do love you.
Yeah, and you know, we got you.
Like, we love all our listeners, but there are some that have been around.
Yes.
For longer.
Correct.
And they fulfill a special place within us.
Yes.
And if other listeners can stick around as long, they can also fulfill that place within us.
Yes. Time is the big factor. Do your time and But yeah, I mean, now you are, you know, you're not in our neighborhood, but close enough.
That's
so
it.
So hopefully this Rona shit backs off a little bit and we can get some beers going on really soon.
No, you're allowed to have gatherings now, aren't you? You're allowed to exercise with one other person.
Yeah.
While you're socially distanced.
Yes, correct.
So we'll go for a jog. I'll have him 3 meters on one side of me and you 3 meters on the other. And I'll just zigzag back and forth.
Just relaying messages.
That's it.
Oh,
Nate said the Titans are shit.
Oh, no. That's it. That's it for 349. Thanks for listening, everyone. As always, you can interact with us on Twitter. So follow at TWI League and Facebook community lives at hashtag Twill Nation. Get in there if you can, as evidenced above with that great message from Hammers. It's a great community of good cunts. Direct link is facebook.com/groups/Twill Nation. Our Facebook page is facebook.com/thisweekinleague. Make sure you hit the like button, share the posts around. We put them up for the releases each week. Help us spread the word. And if you would like to support the show, make sure you drop us a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts and anywhere else that takes reviews for the shit you listen to. And if you want to go the extra mile, digital memberships are still available and can be picked up at any time for only $3.99 per month. That's it. Next week is the 350. Haven't given it any thought because of this Rona shit.
What are the protocols on tree fitty jokes?
Well, I was talking about it with the Loch Ness Monster.
I told one to give him no tree fitty.
The Loch Ness Monster knocked on my door and said, oh, no. Said I owed a tree fitty. So, yeah, I guess there's no restriction, no limitation on Loch Ness Monster tree fitty jokes.
So, I'll tell you, we'll have a segment at the end of the show, if we remember, where people can send in you know, tweets or voice recordings of saying congratulations for true fitty.
Yes. I'll tell you what I'll do for the Facebook people. I'll fucking dig into Skype and see if I can figure out the voicemail thing. Or fucking, we'll probably be able to do it by some other mechanism anyway.
Yeah. But, and then we'll just release that as the episode. We don't have to do shit. It's like one of those clip shows where you remember the episode where we said this.
Except it'll be just the entire thing will just be about tree fitty. Oh, rest in peace, Chef, you crazy son. What's real dad doing?
He came down for 300.
Yeah, well, I mean, if he's not going to come down for tree fitty.
If he's not up in the Woomba cutting eye holes into fucking sheets.
We should be able to Skype his fucking thumb into it.
It's us and Skype. We'll be okay with that. Because is Skype owned by Microsoft?
Yes.
Yeah, good. Because then they're all white guys. So he's okay with using them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, he's also okay with, you know, using colored people too, but, you know, that's a different kind.
Yeah, okay. So I'll tell you what, we'll figure out, over through the week, we'll figure out the technical ability of people to drop messages off and for the episode, and we'll try and get Real Dad in for it. And that'll be it. On that note, See you next week.
For Tree Fritter.
Tree Fritter.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.